ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, entitled Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, Text Number 11. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Itham Etat Pura Raja Bhishmam Dharmabhritam Varam Ajata Shatru Paprachā Sarvesham Na Anushrinvatam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ithametat Pura Raja Bhishmam Dharma Britam Varam Ajata Shatru Papracha Sarvesham No Anushrinvatam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Itham Etat Pura Raja Bhishmam Dharma Britam Varam Ajata Shatru Papracha Sarvesham No Nushrinvatam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Itham Etat Pura Raja Bhishmam Dharma Britam Varam Ajata Shatru Papracha Sarvesham No Anushrinvatam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Supreme Personality of Godhead said Itham Thus Etat This Pura Formerly Raja The King Bhishmam Unto Bhishma Dharma of religious principles Britam of the upholders Varam unto the best Ajata Shatru King Yudhishthir who considered no one his enemy Papricha asked Sarvesham while all Naha of us Anushrinvatam were carefully listening. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Uddhava, just as you are now inquiring from me, similarly, in the past King Yudhishthir, who considered no one his enemy, inquired from the greatest of the upholders of religious principles, Bhishma, while all of us were carefully listening. Translation responsibly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Uddhava, just as you are now inquiring from me, similarly, in the past King Yudhishthir, who considered no one his enemy, inquired from the greatest of the upholders of religious principles, Bhishma, while all of us were carefully listening. This text does not have a purport, so I'll read further on. Text 12. When the great battle of Kurukshetra had ended, King Yudhishthir was overwhelmed by the death of many beloved well-wishers. And thus, after listening to instructions about many religious principles, he finally inquired about the path of liberation. Text 13. I will now speak unto you those religious principles of Vedic knowledge, detachment, self-realization, faith, and devotional service that were heard directly from the mouth of Bhishma Dev. Text 14. I personally approve of that knowledge by which one sees the combination of 9, 11, 5, and 3 elements in all living entities and ultimately one element within those 28. Purport. The 9 elements are material nature, the living entity, the Mahatattva, false ego, and the 5 objects of sense perception, namely sound, touch, form, taste and aroma. The 11 elements are the 5 working senses, the voice, hands, legs, anus and genital, plus the 5 knowledge acquiring senses, the ears, touch, eyes, tongue and nostrils, along with the coordinative sense, the mind. The 5 elements are the 5 physical elements, namely earth, water, fire, air and sky. And the 3 elements are the 3 modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. All living entities, from the mighty Brahma down to an insignificant wheat, manifest material bodies composed of these 28 elements. The one element within all 28 is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, who is all-pervading within the material and spiritual worlds. One can easily understand that the material universe is composed of innumerable causes and effects. Since Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes, all secondary causes and the effects are ultimately non-different from the personality of Godhead. This understanding constitutes real knowledge or jnana, which is essential for perfecting one's life. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shilakya Chakshun Mutandina Dasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we can see so far in the Bhagavatam, Uddhava has asked a question unto the Lord and now Krishna is replying. And so here we can see Krishna is showing the importance of parampara or the disciplic succession. And Krishna is here is referring to answer Uddhava's question. He is referring to a dialogue between Maharaj Yudhishthir and Bhishma Dev. So we know when the battle of Kurukshetra was going, Bhishma Dev was he was fighting and he was wounded. He was shot many arrows and he was lying on a bed of arrows. So then when he was lying down there, about to leave his body, all the great sages, Krishna, the Pandavas, they came. And taking that opportunity, Maharaj Yudhishthir inquired from Bhishma Dev about how to, as mentioned in the next text, he inquired about the path of liberation and other religious principles also. So here we see that Krishna is referring to a dialogue. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead is referring to a dialogue. Krishna, as we know, is Supreme Personality of Godhead, God. He doesn't need to refer to anyone. Actually, all knowledge comes from Him. But we see that He is also referring to a dialogue. And Bhishma Dev, He is one of the 12 Mahajans. So Bhishma Dev is an authority. So as we know, we have to receive spiritual knowledge from an authority. So Krishna is actually setting the example by referring to this dialogue. Even we see, in any spiritual discussions we are having, it has to be referenced to scripture. Otherwise it is mental speculation if it's not referenced. If what we are speaking has to be backed up by scripture. Even we can see in material life that as students, when we prepared our assignments, we had to provide references. If you don't provide references, you fail the assignment. So sometimes, so that's where there's plagiarism, or sometimes students copy the assignments and can lead to plagiarism, so they have to provide all references. And even with research, when people do research, researchers, they also have to reference their research. They cannot, independently state anything. Like Gopal Mishra, you did PhD, so I'm sure you also referenced what you were researching, right? So like that, everything has to be referenced. So similarly, even in spiritual circles, what we are discussing has to be referenced. But we see when it comes to spiritual life, people don't want to accept any authority. For material life, we see they are accepting an authority. It's like they're going to work, so the boss is the authority. And they learn from universities. No one just picks up a textbook and, you can't learn medicine by picking up a textbook. One needs to go to an authorized college to learn. But we see when it comes to spiritual affairs, when it comes to getting knowledge of the ultimate topic, which is God or Krishna, nobody takes any instruction. people think they'll concoct their own spirituality. I'll take a bit from Jainism, Buddhism, Sikhism, here, there, and come up with my own philosophy. Make a khichdi, and that's that's the philosophy. So in this way, they very intelligently avoid the surrender aspect. They just take the bits of philosophy they like. So that's like the half-hen logic. You know, there was a farmer had a hen, so he only liked the part of the hen which gave the eggs, not the part which was demanding, give me food. So he chopped off the neck of the hen. So so that kind of logic actually leads us nowhere. So we see actually Krishna conscious knowledge comes through parampara or disciplic succession. And so why do we need to hear from disciplic succession? Or also, why do we need to hear from the Vedas? Because the disciplic succession is propounding the knowledge of the Vedas. So if we want to get information of something which is beyond our experience, we have to consult the Vedas. Because we understand that the Vedas, they are not from this world. They are actually from the spiritual world. The Vedas is spoken by Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we want to get some information which is beyond our range of experience, we have to accept a higher authority. Actually, the definition of inconceivable is very nicely described in the introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it says, that which is beyond a power of conception is known as inconceivable. So something beyond a power of conception is inconceivable. So then people will say, then how do I know that the Vedas are right? You know, why do I need to approach the Vedas? So what's the guarantee that the information the Vedas is giving is correct? So there are certain things which we can experiment, what's mentioned in the Vedas, things within our range of experience. So if we can experiment those things, and if that is proved right, because the Vedas are never wrong, so whatever the Vedas says, it is always right. So if people can actually conduct experiments in things within their range of experience, and they can actually see that it is actually correct. So therefore, if the Vedas are describing about the spiritual world, what's within this universe, the structure of the universe, that also has to be correct. So they cannot apply the half-hand logic again. So we see like these days, and Srila Prabhupada in the Isha Upanishad gives the example of Varnashram principle. He says that actually the Varnashram, this is the four orders of life, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that these are actually existing in every society, whether people accept it or not. So this system is actually existing in every society. There's the head in the society, the intellectual people, the philosophers, the scientists. Then there's the arms, the kshatriyas, the administrators. Then there's the belly, the vaishyas. All these, you see so many. These days it's predominantly vaishyas and shudras. All these multinational firms, they're basically vaishyas. And then those who help the other three people. So this is there in every society. So because this point is mentioned in the Vedas, we can see that this has a universal application. Another example Srila Prabhupada mentions is of cow dung. So the Vedas say that actually the stool of any living entity is actually contaminated, but the stool of a cow is pure. So this sounds contradictory, but then later, you know, some research was done and they actually found out that cow dung is pure. And we see all over India, even in villages now, that cow dung is being used as a fuel. You know, it's a biofuel. It's used in houses to smear on the ground. Cow urine is used. So we see actually the principles, the points in the Vedas are always correct. The Vedas long ago described that this planet is round. You know, before people were thinking that this planet is actually flat. We will fall down. But later they found out that actually this planet is round. This So everything in the Vedas is actually correct. Therefore, there is no choice, but they have to accept that what the Vedas is describing about the inconceivable information also has to be correct. It can't be wrong. So far, everything they have given is correct, so that also has to be correct. So these days they are trying to experiment. So these days what researchers are doing, they use their limited senses and they create the scientific equipment, which is also limited and defective, because as we know, we have the four defects. So with those limited senses and gadgets, they gathered knowledge or data, which is also imperfect. Like for example, the Hubble, you know, telescope is out there. So it's actually, if you see, it's a tiny machine. But and this universe is so vast, it's so big. How much information can they get from that? Even that piece of equipment is also not perfect. Now they have the International Space Station, which is under construction. Is it complete or still going on? So, you know, different countries are actually coming up with this space station where they can actually conduct more research. But they will actually never reach to the conclusion of this universe, of origin of life, because they are not accepting knowledge from an authority. So it mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the knowledge of Vedas has to be accepted without argument, because how can we argue about something to which we have no access? So it's very, you know, Prabhupada very expertly points out the defects in modern day research. And how can we find out about something to which we have no access? Therefore, we have to accept the Vedas. And even in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, 20th chapter, text 9, Vidura also sets the example. He actually says to Lord Brahma, "Since you know of matters inconceivable to us, tell me, O holy sage, what did Brahma do to create living beings after evolving the Prajapatis, the progenitors of living beings?" So we can see also things which are beyond his conception, he's actually approaching an authority. So that is actually the way of receiving Vedic knowledge. So through the Parampara system, we can actually get the conclusion of the Vedas, which is to develop love for Krishna. Vedaishya sarvai aham eva vedyo. So the conclusion of all the Vedic knowledge is to develop love for Krishna. But if we read, if somebody actually dives into the reading of the Vedas without the help of the previous acharyas or of a bona fide spiritual master, they cannot actually come to any conclusion. They will be attracted. Very high chances are, as is mentioned, that they get attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which are compared to the leaves of the Vedic tree. So the Vedas are actually called the desire tree, because one can get from that whatever one wants. So there is Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda. So there are actually so many diversions, so to say. So one actually needs help of the Parampara system. And also, if we want to develop love for Krishna, our philosophy is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So you know, there's that very famous verse, "I'm not a Brahman, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, nor am I a Brahmachari, householder, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. I identify myself only as a servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis." So we actually get this through the Parampara system. And Krishna also adds prestige to this Parampara system, because Krishna, he accepts a bona fide spiritual master. He accepted Sandipani Muni. We see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted Ishwarapuri as his spiritual master. So the Lord also sets the example, just to add prestige to the system. So we also take it very seriously. And also one of the six instructions in the Nectar of Instruction, the third text, is to actually follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So if we follow the previous acharyas, it actually becomes very easy to understand this spiritual knowledge. Just like you can imagine, if you wanted to understand the Vedas, you know, you go to a library and open the books, you know, we cannot understand anything. But, you know, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we get the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam with very elaborate commentaries. So Srila Prabhupada is like the previous acharya. And it's actually giving us the conclusions of all the Vedic knowledge. So we don't have to speculate. So we can just accept the knowledge straight given from the books. Because Srila Prabhupada is giving the conclusions of that. And also, the qualification for accepting this knowledge is that one has to be submissive. Tadviddhi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti jnanam jnanina sattva darshana. So one has to, even materially, if somebody has to get knowledge, they cannot be arrogant. They have to be submissive. We can't, like somebody can't walk into a lecture theater and start arguing with the teacher. They have to sit there for 1 hour, submissively hear the lecture, then they can ask some question on that. And also in Krishna consciousness, there has to be an attitude of service. Without the attitude of service, one cannot understand this knowledge. So submission and service and inquiry. So it is not blind following. So we see that this knowledge actually comes down in two ways. So one way is Krishna speaks it through the heart. Or Krishna will speak it personally to you, like in the case of Arjuna. And the other way is through a bona fide spiritual master, through the external representation of the super soul, the spiritual master. So, in our case, most likely, Krishna won't speak to us from within. So we have to actually accept a bona fide spiritual master to receive that knowledge. And that the spiritual masters, like Srila Prabhupada said, my only qualification, like, you know, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes that people praise him for, you know, starting this Krishna consciousness movement, how it spread like wildfire all over the world. He said, my only qualification was that I did not add anything or I did not subtract anything. I presented this knowledge as it is, without any change. And he, Prabhupada said, this is my only qualification in presenting this knowledge. So the spiritual master is like an expert postman. So like if a postman is delivering some cash, so he won't take out any cash from that. He'll just put it in the mailbox straight. For example, if I say, this is a garland, and you also say this is a garland, you also say, she also says this is a garland. So this is actually, knowledge is being passed down in disciplic succession. It is not being changed. So Krishna says, you know, you surrender unto me. Srila Prabhupada is saying the same thing, surrender to Krishna. And all the gurus following in the line of Srila Prabhupada, they are also saying basically the same thing. You surrender to Krishna, give up illusion. And we also see, the instructions we get through the disciplic succession, they carry a lot of potency. You know, especially in India, a lot of people are chanting the Gayatri Mantra. You know, you go in the market and you hear the Gayatri Mantra blasting. So, but actually that does not have any potency. Because it is not coming from the right source. It is not coming from an authority, from the Guru. So, you know, people just, you know, they chant any mantra they want to chant. They'll open some book and they'll pick up a mantra and they'll start chanting it. Someone is chanting Ganesh mantra, Hanuman mantra, someone reading Hanuman Chalisa. But there's actually not much benefit because they're not getting the mantra from the right source. So it doesn't work actually. And also we can see in the Chaitanya Leela, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was travelling to Vrindavan, he went through the Jharikhand forest. And in that forest, he delivered all the animals. So he delivered the elephants, tigers, the deer, they all are hugging each other and laughing and chanting in ecstasy and rolling over the ground. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through the pass through the Jharkhand forest, he went through villages and he met many villagers, and he gave them the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then they developed love for God by the potency of the instruction. And when they further chanted to someone else the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they also developed love for God. So when the second person chanted to the third person, he developed love for God. And in this way, love of God was spread all over the place. So we can see this is actually the potency of the spiritual instruction. And even now, it's not that, you know, that was during Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. So now that same potency won't be there. That's not true. We see Srila Prabhupada, how in this very short 10 years, he spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So, and how does one get that potency? It's mentioned that if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, our problem is that we are chanting, committing offenses. Therefore, that same potency is not there. If we chant free from offenses, a devotee becomes very, very potent. And in that way, so many people become devotees. By the purity of, we can see even our spiritual masters, you know, we can speak the same thing to an audience. But when they speak, there it carries weight because of the purity. So Srila Prabhupada also says, purity is the force. And also, through the parampara disciplic succession, one can be empowered even to excel the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is also found in the Chaitanya Leela, in the pastime of Jagai Madai, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu, "You can perform a task that even I cannot do, but for you, I cannot find anyone in Gauradesh who can fulfill my mission there." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling Nityananda Prabhu that you can perform a task that even I cannot do. So the Lord actually likes to see His devotees get glorified. And even we see in Bhagavad Gita, actually, you know, Krishna said all these soldiers and on both sides are already dead, but you become a nimitta matrena, you become an instrument of executing my instruction, and in that way you take all the glory. So actually Krishna wants to give the glory to His devotees. And Srila Prabhupada says in that purport, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the devotees of Lord Nityananda can even excel Lord Nityananda in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. And we see, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spread the Krishna consciousness movement within India, and Srila Prabhupada, he took it outside of India and spread it all over the world. And not only that, he brought it back to India again. And then now in India we see Krishna consciousness is booming. So we can see how the devotee actually excels the Lord. So the Lord actually enjoys that. Krishna enjoys that. His devotee is doing. We can, just like even a father, he likes if his son or daughter excels the father. You know, the father finds a lot of happiness in that. So similarly, Krishna also likes that. And we see that actually this knowledge was, Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the sun planet. As we are aware, it's mentioned in the fourth chapter that Krishna said, "I spoke this knowledge to the sun god Vivaswan, but in due course of time, this knowledge was lost by the influence of time." So what Krishna actually means, that it's not that the knowledge was lost. It's not that the Bhagavad Gita vanished from the planet or Srimad Bhagavatam vanished from the planet. It's that the instructions, the understanding was lost. The clear understanding of the Gita, which is to surrender to Krishna, that was lost. So that's what Krishna means by that this knowledge was lost in due course of time. And we can see that is actually the influence of time. Because Because time is actually very, very powerful. Time destroys things. And by the influence of time, even the teachings of Krishna were obscured from the world. So many things we are seeing around us, happening around us, are actually by the influence of time. Because time actually puts... Time is very powerful. It's the energy of the Lord. So it actually puts pressure. And all the problems and discrepancies we see are by the influence of time. And we see by the influence of time that so many, false commentators came up and they start writing their own commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. And it is actually mentioned that that is a very great offense. If somebody misinterprets the word of the Lord, it is like, for example, if I say something, or say, you have written a book, you have written your autobiography, you have done something very, you're a very famous person in the world, and you have written your autobiography, and if someone else picks it up and says, no, actually, Bhakti Sahar did not mean that. he was saying actually this, he was saying something else. He did not actually mean that. But he meant something else. But you will feel very offended. Because somebody has changed my words. Somebody has misconstrued the meaning. So similarly, that is a very great offense that so many people without any qualification, they comment on the glories of the Lord. Because Bhagavad Gita is a very personal thing to the Lord. Krishna is actually describing himself. I'm like this, I'm like that. This is my material nature. This is how you cross over it. And you are my devotee. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Dr. Radha Krishna, who is, I think, the president of India. And he was saying, you don't have to... He was saying basically, Krishna within and without are two different things. So in this way, people actually misconstrue the meanings of the Gita, and that is actually a very, very great offense. And also, if one wants to write commentaries, one has to take... if somebody wants to write a commentary on the... say, on a scripture, one has to take permission from the disciple succession. We see Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, before he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he took permission from all the Vaishnavas. He took permission from his spiritual master. And then he went to the Madan Mohan deity and he took permission. And the Lord granted his request when a garland fell down and the pujari gave the garland to Krishnadas Kaviraj. So in this way, one has to take permission. One cannot independently write. And I think Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also criticizes, is it Vallabha Dutt or Vallabha Bhatt? Vallabha Bhatt. Yeah, he criticized him because he had written a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam in which he did not accept Sridhar Swami. We understand that Sridhar Swami is actually the original commentator on the Bhagavatam. So he did not... Because he actually criticized Sridhar Swami, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected his commentary. And so then, when Vallabha Bhatt was actually going around trying to, tell other devotees about his understanding of Mahamantra and the Srimad Bhagavatam, no one was actually listening to him. So we see, again, the Lord sets the example of who can actually write a commentary. It has to follow in the line of the parampara. One has to agree with what the previous acharyas are saying. And we can see Srila Prabhupada also, when he writes his Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, he follows the previous acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada says that, I dedicate this Bhagavad Gita to Baldev Vidya Bhushan, the Govinda Bhashya. So Srila Prabhupada, with the Bhagavad Gita, he primarily refers to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and mainly Baldev Vidya Bhushan. So even Srila Prabhupada, he consults the previous acharyas. But we see demoniac people, they do not believe in God, but they exploit the teachings. Because Bhagavad Gita is actually a very, very famous book. So they want to present their own philosophy and they use the Bhagavad Gita. you know, they pick up a famous book and they don't present the will of Krishna, but they present their own will. And in this way, everyone is cheated. So that's why actually, these days we can see that people don't even have any idea of disciplic succession. Things in Kali Yuga have deteriorated so much to such an extent that, you know, people don't even know that they have to accept, like they have to get this knowledge through the disciplic succession. That's why they are actually going to so many places and reading books. So that's why we can see that this book distribution is actually a very, very important activity. Because people have no idea. Like, if somebody wants to buy gold, they should know what gold is. Otherwise, they'll get cheated. But when it comes to spiritual knowledge, they do not even know what gold is. They don't even know the basics. That much, you know, in ignorance people are. So that's why distribution of this knowledge is very, very important. So people can understand the basics and then they can make the right choice. Otherwise they'll simply get cheated. And we see all programs in ISKCON are basically centered around book distribution. So even whether it's college preaching, that is also book distribution, because we are teaching them the books. And even these days, it is not enough to distribute the books. People actually need help to understand the books. Because by the influence of Kali Yuga, everyone's brain is so dull. You can see that now the caliber of people has reduced very much. You know, they cannot understand philosophy much. They need entertainment. Even in so many preaching programs, I remember the lectures used to be very long. But now, as Kali Yuga is progressing, you know, the lectures have to be many examples, many stories, many jokes to make them laugh. And then you add one or two points and let them think about that. So, you know, a lot of entertainment is required. And then, like we see with Indradyumna Maharaj preaching, first they do a whole 1 hour drama. You know, so many, you know, there's shows, this and that, karate, martial arts, yoga, you know, dancing. Then Maharaj will come on the stage and he'll give a talk. So first we have to you have to dry the grass. You have to dry the grass. It's wet grass. You have to dry it. And even I can see, like, for in my own life, I came to this temple 8 years ago, I think it was 8-9 years ago. And actually it was Gopal Guru Prabhu, my dear God brother. He was the first person who gave me a Bhagavad Gita, who preached to me. And how I came to Australia was, in year 10 I started nagging my father, I want to go to Australia. And I was thinking, because I'll have a free life. You know, go there, enjoy, you know, no one to look over me, what I'm doing, what time I'm coming at night, you know, relatives are talking and the neighbors look from the window, my mother's getting on my case. So I'll go abroad and that's it, free life. So the deal was, okay, after year 12 you can go, but we'll pay your fees, your tuition fees, but you have to cover your own expenses. And then after 1 year, you have to cover half of your tuition fees. I said, okay, deal done. And then went to an agent and she said, you're going to Australia, very nice, you know, getting a job is no problem, you can work in a gym. you can be a gym instructor and you'll get $25 an hour. And I was so, you know, carried away by that, I'll be a gym instructor. And and then finally I got my visa, I came here, and then I saw the size of the Australian people. And I realized, you know, I looked at my own body. There is no way I can, you know, I need to develop my own body first if I need to teach them. So that illusion was immediately smashed. But the reality was actually something else, that when the students have to work very hard, it wasn't very easy to get a job. So, you know, that $25 an hour was like, forget it. So I had to do so many kinds of odd jobs and like that. So then one day, and So did many of those jobs, and it came to the point that as many students, they have no money because it's very hard to find jobs, and the balance was actually negative. Bank account was in negative. And so I thought, okay, now I'll go to temple, you know, because I have no money to eat. So at first I went to the Gurdwara, which is the Sikh temple in Blackburn. And so there they have, Gurdwaras are very famous for their langar, for their spiritual food, prasadam. So there they serve big quantities. So when they have sessions on Wednesday and Sunday. So we reach right at the time they have to serve. And then I thought, okay, then I've heard there's a Hare Krishna temple. I'll go there also. I didn't know that, you know, prasadam means so much, as Kesha Prabhu was mentioning yesterday. Because in India, you get only, if you go to a temple, they'll give you this much. So I came here, went upstairs, and there they gave me this boat plate, you know, huge plate, full of prasadam, and I thought, wow, so much prasadam, you know, I can come here every day. And they give takeaways also. You know, that's great, they give takeaways also. So I started coming, and Sunday peace, Gopal Guru Prabhu came to me, and I asked him some questions, and he saw some spark of interest, and he started preaching. And he gave me this Bhagavad Gita from his car at the back. And I read that Bhagavad Gita. Just few words into the book, I could not understand anything. I put it down. Just speaking about consciousness, this and that. One page I struggled and I put it down. Next week I went to see Gopal Guru Prabhu. I said, Prabhuji, I cannot understand anything. You take this book back. He said, no, you keep it. You keep reading it. Just keep going further and gradually you'll understand. So after the preface, I reached the introduction, and as you know, the introduction is super heavy. 40 pages of introduction, and that was it for me. Because of being engaged in all the vices of Kali Yuga, I could not actually comprehend this philosophy. It was too much for me. So you can see these days also, these days, it's very difficult for people to understand these books. Like, we've done so much book distribution, but those people actually need to be cultivated. They need to be taught the books personally in whatever way is possible, just to make the philosophy very attractive through slideshows or, you know, through a skit or drama or whatever. It has to be present. They have to be taught this knowledge. Otherwise, it's very difficult for people to understand. Of course, there's a rare soul to whom it clicks. But for most people, their brains are roasted by Kali Yuga. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions, comments, or corrections. Okay. Can't charge him a Bhagavatam ki, Shita Prabhupada ki.